This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Marijuana will be legal in Illinois soon, and Leafly.com California Bureau Chief David Downs breaks down some of the things we can expect with this legalization. Thanks for joining me, David.
Thanks for having me, Mason.
Tell me, why are so many states rushing to legalize marijuana?
That's because it's polling at 62% among the electorate in the United States. Medical marijuana is polling in the mid-90s. I don't even think you can get water to poll in the mid-90s in some of the southern states. The legalization experiment is going so far in our states, which are laboratories of democracy. Tax revenues are coming in. Police are doing other things with their time. Property values near dispensaries are going up, and crime near dispensaries is going down. And then we know that the teenage use of marijuana has remained flat or has gone down slightly despite the increase in this policy.
I'm a little shocked about that one. I'm not going to lie. I thought it would be higher.
I think we have a way to think about this, and it's the tobacco control model we've seen put into effect over a number of decades. We have slashed the usage of tobacco in America through taxation, regulation, and messaging, such that use tobacco at lower rates than they use cannabis. And Illinois will be one of those places where they will be plowing some of that $500 million in tax revenue into public messaging to keep kids away from cannabis and making smarter, healthier choices overall.
So in Illinois, how many locations can we expect to be selling marijuana?
We're tracking at least 33, up to 55 dispensaries that have medical licenses could go rec, but they need both state and local approval, and the local approval part is really tricky. So there was 27 originally announced, and another 6 have been added, but one of those that got added at the state level doesn't have local approval. We expect those numbers to slowly tick up in the new year.
With Illinois, obviously, we are not growing our own crops. Where will we be getting our marijuana from?
Illinois has a pretty advanced medical marijuana system with about 15 farms, or a little under 24, and more ramping up all the time. So people who shop in Illinois dispensaries say, I can find a lot of the stuff that I can find in California at similar prices. The selection might be wider and some of the deals might be better in other more mature medical cannabis economies. But Illinois is off to the races. And so the recreational cannabis supply will come from that medical supply chain at first.
Oh, I didn't even know we had farms. They're sneaky.
Yeah, Illinois' medical marijuana program has just really bloomed, up from less than 50,000 patients to almost 100,000 in a single year due to policy changes that allow more people to join the medical program. So it's already straining under the weight of these new medical patients. And here comes about 10 times more adult use consumers, plus tourists from other states. And that's going to mean prices are high, demand will be high, and selection will be low in the foreseeable future, at least a couple weeks to a couple months.
I'm glad you talked about the price, because that was my next question, is what can we expect to buy this at? How much will an ounce be?
It's going to be a seller's market, and it'll be tough to even get an ounce. I'm hearing dispensary operators talk about purchase limits of lower than the state legal amount, just so that everybody can buy something. And that cannabis is going to go for the standard top shelf rates, which run about $50 to $60 per eighth ounce. The old hippies will call that like a one-finger bag of cannabis. And the taxes are going to be steep on top of that $50 or $60 eighth. You're looking at about 25% taxes or higher, depending on what you buy and what jurisdiction you're in.
One finger bag. I haven't heard that in so long.
Yeah.
My
dad would
say that.
It's going to be a real trip for a lot of these people in line. I've been to a number of these other states that have gone legal on legalization day, and there's a lot of old timers in line who are there to say, you know, I saw it, I lived it, I can't believe it finally happened. And it was easily a choice they wanted to make for, you know, pre-dawn on New Year's Day.
So if we look at all the other states, how long did it take them to get their prices to be more regulated? Can we expect like a year, and this will be like more of the standard prices in a year?
It's measured in the time frame of years.
Okay.
When you look at a state like Colorado, which had legalization for adult use for 5 years now, eighths are running on average about $18.
Wow.
In Oregon, which started even after Colorado, eighth ounces were spotted for as low as $6. this year. And that is in keeping with what researchers have told us, which is that people on the street are paying 10 times the price of cannabis in terms of what it costs to grow it, simply because of the risk involved in getting it from an illegal farm to an illegal dealer. It's called the risk premium. With legalization, that risk premium goes down dramatically. Industrialization increases, supplies increase, and prices do go down. And in the meantime, I believe medical patients do have the right to cultivate on their own. You can get your own crop going within about 4 months, and then adult use patients report that, or rather adult use consumers report that they have really good access to cannabis in Illinois as it is. Let's be real, the shortages will be in the licensed, tax-tested, regulated supply chain. There do not appear to be similar cannabis shortages out in the other outlets in Illinois.
So if you're able to grow your own plants, what kind of rules will you have to follow?
I'm sure there's going to be some type of local rules. You want to check local law and state law. Generally, with other states, they want to make sure it's out of sight and out of smell and locked up and away from kids and not a fire hazard. All pretty common sense stuff when you think about it.
Well, in Chicago, we really don't have the best place to keep it outside, especially with the winter times. So it's probably going to be everything on the inside, right?
That's correct. My impression of Illinois is one of an indoor market where some of the larger players can perhaps engage in mixed-use cultivation, which involves greenhouses that are supplemented by artificial light.
Now, what will the possession limit be? I imagine you can't walk around with pounds, right?
The possession limit in Illinois is 30 grams. And considering that the average daily consumer smokes about a gram and a half a day, you know, you're looking at almost a month's supply. If you're from out of town, your possession limits are half of that. So you can have up to 15 grams of this dried, cured flower bud. You can also have a limited amount of extract or concentrate, the old school people will call it hash, just a number of grams of that, and then a limited amount of products that are infused with THC, the main active ingredient in cannabis, specifically like food and beverages. You can have up to 500 milligrams of THC in edibles in your possession, meaning you can drive with it if you're above 21, have it on your person, those kind of things.
Oh, you know what? When it comes to taxes, what can we expect here in Illinois?
I think Illinoisans are pretty familiar with taxes, and they are going to be heavy in this sector, much higher than comparable taxes on alcohol or tobacco. At the state level, no one escapes the state sales tax, which is running 6.25 or 6.75%. You'll have to check. And then in addition to that state sales tax on everything, there is cannabis purchaser taxes that range anywhere from 10 to 25%. And in addition to those cannabis purchaser taxes, there can also be local cannabis taxes up to 3.75%, depending on which city and county you're in. And we know that most cities and counties don't want to have retail cannabis in their town at this time. Those that do are interested in that tax revenue, and they're setting that local tax rate. There's also taxes that you won't see on your receipt that are contributing to your prices. Cultivators pay a 7% tax at the farm gate, and they pass that on to consumers down the line. And then lastly, there's onerous federal income tax provision called Section 280E of the business code, and that disallows normal and ordinary business deductions. And that creates an effective federal income tax rate of sometimes is up to 70%.
Oh, man. See, I quit smoking because of the taxes, so this isn't looking good at all.
Yeah, those taxes have real power to deter price-sensitive consumers and remind them that there's a cost to be borne. With regard to tobacco, the taxes can be more than the price of the product itself. And over the long term, we could see a similar climate where the price of cannabis drops so low that the most of the money you pay at the register is the licensing, taxation, and fees on top of that product. The key is to not set that tax so high that you create a big profit motive for people to go to the illicit market and get something cheaper. We see that some of that tax evasion with regard to tobacco in states like New York that have really been really aggressive with that tobacco tax.
Now, will it be with edibles and CBD, will it be taxed differently or is it all the same?
There is a little bit of a difference in edibles taxation, not so much for CBD. Specifically, there's a middle tier purchaser tax rate that's designed to cover edibles. The overall policy is trying to push people into lower potency, safer products and ding you if you want to reach for some of the more strong stuff. It would be like if there was a higher tax on espresso or Jim Beam than there was on coffee or beer. And that's what you can expect. As for CBD, in the medical system, medical marijuana patients who are often searching for CBD, cannabidiol, the second most common active ingredient in cannabis, which doesn't get you stoned, they get a sales tax break at the state sales tax level. They don't pay purchaser tax. But then there's also a wide variety of CBD that's available in other markets, not the Illinois regulated market, not these dispensaries for medical or adult use. You're seeing CBD available online, and you're seeing it available in truck stops. I saw it in 7-Eleven here in California on my Christmas break. And, of course, those sales tax rates are going to vary like they would with other consumer products.
Now, when it comes to marijuana, and I think this is really cool, there are different types of strains of marijuana. So it's not all just one big plant. There are multiple, like a variety of them. The people, the dispensaries, will they be able to help you find the right strain for you?
They will. And there's other resources that people are tuning into, including Leafly. We're moving away from the word strains because of its bacterial connotations and moving more toward words like varietal or variety or type, similar to what you hear in wine. But there are hundreds, if not thousands, of commercially available varieties, also known as cultivars, and they will have different and varying effects depending on how much THC versus CBD is in there, mainly. But then in a second level, depending on what the level of the terpenes are. And those are the aromatic compounds in cannabis that give it its smell and its taste. They actually modify and regulate the mood-altering effects of THC and are really the biggest part of the plant. You know, when people talk about wine, they don't talk about its alcohol content. They talk about its tannins and a lot of its other attributes. That new era of cannabis appreciation is just starting nationally, and it's coming to Illinois.
Ooh, I'm excited about that one because I think that's a very cool concept, is that there are so many different kind of a variety of marijuana that they're all not the same. You can have a different experience with each one versus when you were buying it illegally, you really didn't know what you were buying. It was all a guessing game.
Yeah, and it took legalization to make a cannabis that was less potent than before, as well as cannabis that can't get you stoned at all, ironically. Because of legal access to cannabis, regular adult-use consumers who don't have the highest tolerance can walk into a store and ask for what they want. It creates this market signal to create lower potency and medium potency products, as well as products that are CBD-rich and don't provide any effect at all. So the old-school era of take it or leave it from your guy and see how strong it is being replaced with a new era where the consumer is in the driver's seat, telling these individuals behind the counter exactly what your skill level is and what effect you're looking for. And they're going to point you to products that have labels with accurate dosages on them so you can make informed, responsible choices.
Now, will tourists be able to purchase marijuana legally?
Oh my gosh, all of them are going to. And a shocking number of them are going to be medical tourists from other states who don't have access. Illinois is unique in that it's in the Midwest. It's the first Midwest state to go legal. It's surrounded by states with avid cannabis consumers and total prohibition. And I'm looking at you, Indiana. And those people know that the Illinois border is porous. There's like 100,000 workers that live out of state and work in Illinois. And people tell me that they cross the border at least once a week. Plus, there's the day trippers that are going to come over for a night in Chicago, as usual, and tack on a visit to a dispensary just to say that they did. And yeah, it promises the Illinois tourism market could potentially eclipse the domestic Illinois cannabis market.
Okay, so I've been having a discussion with my father, and it's more like an argument because I feel like I'm right here. And let's see if I am. He works with heavy machinery, and he thinks that he'll be able to smoke weed while still, not while working, but, you know, recreationally. And I'm telling him that no way. There's no way that he could pass a drug test right now and say, hey, you can work, right, you know, like have a weekend of fun, then go to work on Monday. They're going to fire you. Am I right or wrong about this?
That's correct. Inaccurate, unscientific workplace employment testing is the unsolved problem of legalization. Most workers in safety-sensitive jobs at the federal level and percolating down from there can get their urine screened for a THC byproduct called THC-Ku, and it can stick around in your body for weeks after the last time you used cannabis. So you can smoke a joint on Friday and fail a urinalysis screen on Monday, but you can be blotto on alcohol on all weekend and still pass that screening. I think legalization is going to spur replacements for urinalysis or just abandoning that particular test in general, just because we're at full employment. We need every hand we can, and we're losing a lot of smart people to really curious, outdated laws. The urinalysis screen that hundreds of thousands of Americans go through right now is over 40 years old, and we know that it is inaccurate and thus unscientific and really unjust.
It is, because I agree. If you can go out and have some drinks and it's out of your system in a few hours or over the night, boom, it's gone. You know the same thing with you smoke a joint. But in this case, the test is just, it's old. It's arcane. So when it comes to these type of jobs, what can you do to protect yourself? What tips do you have? Do you just not do it at all? Do you just say, well, I guess I can't partake in marijuana?
If you're in a job that could potentially involve a pre-employment drug screen or a random workplace drug screen, I think an employment attorney is going to tell you to stay away from substances that are going to potentially make you fail that. And they should warn you that you can use an all CBD product where trace amounts of THC in it or just a false positive from the test itself can land you in hot water. You got to be very careful around this stuff, especially in this liminal period. We have decriminalization and legalization at that level, but there's all the other ways that cannabis prohibition is still in effect. You can not only lose your job over this, you can lose your housing. You can potentially lose a child in a custody dispute. You can lose your pain medication. The list goes on, and people like Edie Moore at Chicago Normal tell me they'll be taking up some of these causes as soon as the legislature returns.
Wow, that's really unfortunate. This is a big transitional period, though. How long can we expect before we can see some good tests come out?
We're already seeing active THC swabs of your saliva. So, for example, they can take a Q-tip and swab your cheek and let you know if you have active THC in your blood, which is a much better indicator of more recent cannabis use. Some people are promising to promulgate THC breathalyzers that, again, can give you an up or down reading on active THC in your breath. There's a number of avenues to get at whether or not someone's more recently used THC. It's just a matter of who's going to convince enough police stations to roll it out or enough other types of agencies that that's the way to go. It could take years, though.
Well, for those who can enjoy marijuana, what are some ways they can do it?
I always tell people to start low and go slow. A lot of old school cannabis fans know that the modern stuff is really strong, and yet they still overdo it or they ignore directions on packaging. You know, it's like Yosemite hiking. You know, you got to be an adult and respect the rules of the road and not overdo it. So stick to how many servings are in an edible and how strong each serving is. The most common dose of cannabis is 10 milligrams of THC, but for a lot of people, they can feel cannabis's effects that are akin to like one beer as low as 1 milligram or 2 milligrams of THC. And if you're eating these products, it can take 2 hours for the effect to fully come in, and it can last for 6 hours or 7 or 8. So it's very important that you don't overeat, because you can't de-eat after you eat that. In that way, smoked cannabis products, just a good old pre-roll, are always a good place to go. I, again, tell people that are coming to this for the first time to look out for CBD-rich strains, stuff where there's an equal amount of CBD and THC in there. That's going to limit the THC's effect, that high that they call it, which is the medical term is euphoria or artificial feeling of well-being. When those feelings get really worked up, it can feel anxious to people. CBD is a guardrail and a governor that caps the effect of THC, like in your nerves. So seek out CBD if you're going to be revisiting THC after a longer time away. And I think those are some good guidelines for some of our more entry-level consumers coming in.
Well, David, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
Go over to Leafly.com. We have a huge Illinois launch guide running. We'll be doing live blogging day of and talking to a lot of the people that deserve a lot of the credit for this policy change. Oh, I want to say this. It's a historic day for Illinois. We're talking about tens of thousands of people that aren't going to be arrested, rolling automatic expungements that are going to affect hundreds of thousands of people, and then a really policy change that's going to reverberate across the Midwest and make a lot of other states go, what? Why don't we have that? What's the delay? And maybe hold the representative to account.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MASOMVERAPAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.